Hey, ¿qué pasa, Calexico? Welcome back to the podcast. Like always, before we begin, I want to thank my sponsors. I want to thank my anchor sponsors, Sergio and Jake. Thank you guys for sponsoring the podcast. I also want to thank David Gastelum. If you're thinking of buying or selling a home in the Imperial or San Diego counties, make sure you contact David Gastelum, 760-235-9576. He's not only a realtor, but an investor with over 20 years of experience. He will not only sell you a property, but teach you along the way on the most important investments that you will make. You can also find David Gastelum on Facebook. Just make sure to search for his name or just give him a call, 760-235-9576. Also want to thank everybody in the front lines. You know, I want to thank doctors, nurses, truck drivers, the kitchen workers at our schools, you know, people stocking our supermarkets, the cashiers, pharmacists, police officers, firemen, you know, EMTs, everybody that's out there, you know, making sure that we're safe. You know, we have our necessities, and, you know, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. Also want to remind everybody that, you know, to shop local as much as you can. These are some of the businesses that are, you know, being impacted the most by this whole situation we're in. Some of these people are our friends or neighbors. So, you know, let's try to help them as much as we can. You know, we have a lot of people who, you know, do sell food and whatnot. So if you don't know if they're open, make sure to contact them. I'm sure you can find them on Facebook or find their number and give them a call. A lot of them are doing carry out or delivery. So make sure to contact them. And yeah, today's guest is fifth grade teacher from Kennedy Gardens. He's really, you know, one of the reasons why we've kind of touched bases is because he's one of the he's really into technology. He's you know, at the fifth grade level, and he was one of the teachers who got selected to do a pilot with, you know, devices that kids would be able to take home. Today's guest is Mr. Jesus Huerta. Thank you for being here.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, like I said, you know, you're really into technology. Right before we started, you showed me something that you 3D printed. And, you know, I remember the first time I met you was Tech de Mayo last year. And I saw a lot
after
of
things. I recognize you from today. There it is.
Yeah. I was also recording that one day. I interviewed a couple of the presenters there. Dr. Todd Finau. So yeah, I think that was the first time we met, and then we met at the Tech Profe presentation here in Calexico. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? You know, how you got into teaching, how you got into technology, how you're, you know.
It's a weird path that I took in high school as a teacher's aide, because I thought it'll be like a cake class to take. And my math teacher, Carl Henshaw, awesome math teacher, he asked me, hey, would you be my aide? I'm like, yeah, okay, just get out of class. And then he would kind of like literally put his feet up with a newspaper, say, oh, can you go check and explain it? And I would catch him kind of like watching me. I'm like, is he watching me? Because I'm going to get in trouble. Am I doing this wrong? And then one day, I was a junior, so, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And he just pulled me aside and said, hey, are you interested in teaching? I think you would do a good job. And I thought, that's dumb. But by the end of my senior year, I was convinced. But long story short, I left San Diego State here in Calexico after a couple of years and went into the workforce, was a dispatcher at the Navy base. Long story short, I was like, man, I need a career. My wife said, go back to school. I'm like, well, I dropped out. But you know what? She just said, call IBC, call San Diego State, see what they say. And they're like, yeah, you can jump back in right now. Let's just do a little bit of paperwork. And now I'm here. You mentioned the technology stuff. In between finishing up to be a teacher and all that, I would also kind of study. I studied game design for like a year. Just a lot of the theories, and that kind of plays into my class also. But I've always been into technology ever since I was a little kid. Sad story. We were not, you know, we didn't have a lot of money growing up. So we had an old Commodore 64. A few of my friends know this story. Don't cry when I tell you. I would see movies. I was like 8 or 9 where they were like hacking. And so I would try to hack my 64 to launch like Nintendo games because my friends had Nintendos and I didn't. And my mom's like, what are you doing? And I told her, and I think kind of bummed her out. So a couple Christmases later, we ended up getting a system. But yeah, just something I've always been passionate about. And right now with everything going on, I think it's a benefit for my students that I know so much about technology.
Yeah.
Right now with distance learning, we didn't really skip step. So
yeah, it's crazy how your story kind of you know, it's kind of like this, kind of the same way I got into what I'm doing now. When I was a high student in high school, I had a math teacher from junior high that would, you know, would I would go help after school, Mr. Lewis, Walter Lewis. I would go help him after school, and one time he's like, "Hey, can you ask so and so that's really good at computers if he would come, you know, help me?" And I remember back then it was probably 1999, and we were barely starting to put computers on in classrooms and connect them to the network. Yeah. He's like, can you tell him if he would come by and help me out, install like network cards on some computers?" So I told the student, and he's like, "Oh, you know what? Tell him I can. I'm playing tennis, blah, blah, blah." I'm like, "All right." So I went back and I told him, he's like, "Oh, he said he's busy. You know, you can teach me and I'll do it for you." He's like, "All right, cool, cool." So yeah, that's how, you know, I started putting network cards on these old big computers. I think they got donated to our site by the prison. So it was like really old computers. I remember whenever we used to reinstall Windows, it was Windows 3.1 or 98. We had like 12 like floppy disks that you have to put in, and then it would load, and then take it out and put it back in, and then but yeah, that's, you know, that's how I started. Like, just, you know, my math teacher.
For those younger listeners, they're like, "What's a floppy disk?"
Yeah.
No, and I was still using that like 4 years ago on older computers to kind of like salvage them or bring them back if they had like crashed or anything like that. So.
And then even like zip drives. Remember the zip drives where you would. Those another ones. I think they use was it parallel or the COM port in the back? That's crazy.
I remember zip drives, and I thought, man, they can't top this anytime soon. And then thumb drives came out. I was like, oh, never mind.
Yeah.
And now
the zip drives were like 256 megabytes of storage,
and which was huge back then.
Yeah, that was a big thing back then. Now it's like terabytes.
Now, like, I got this little card, and now. I seen them like at swap meets, and I'm like, I remember that. Should just buy it just for nostalgia.
Nostalgia, yeah.
You know,
going back to, you know, technology. You were selected to be a teacher to run the pilot. You know, the 1-to-1 devices. Can you tell us a little bit about that pilot program?
So in Calexico, there's a huge push for technology, and right now I can tell you that. I have friends in other districts that the initiative doesn't even match. Like, they're still giving out paper packets in some other cities here in California, even now, you know, and it's sorry, my dog is getting worked up. But it's amazing because, I mean, not just because I work there. I mean, it's just the support that they have, the push that they have, and it kind of, I mean, I noticed it when I started because, I applied. I had to put my name out there and explain why I wanted to have it. So they're pretty much one-to-one with every student, whether it's an iPad or Chromebook, but they wanted to do something different where students had a MacBook. And how could the classroom change if they have a MacBook instead? Now, with a Chromebook, it's inexpensive. It's a decent little machine. But as we move forward, I think you'll see that it limits what's possible. For example, I do a lot of 3D printing. My students know how to design in like 3 or 4 different types of software. They know how to export, pull the file out, and they know how to set up the print. Eventually, it was a little time consuming because they had to go back and forth from a couple of devices. But, you know, that's something later on we can probably end up fixing once we find software that's a little more affordable or feasible. But they knew all that. They knew how to do all that. And that's something that would have been limited in the Chromebooks. Some of the software just won't run because the Chromebook doesn't have the horsepower under the hood. There's someone, Roger Wagner, I'm going to quote him, that somebody else told me he said that, but I mean, it sounds like something he would say. Basically, you know, you have a Chromebook and that's a nice tool, but when you have a MacBook, it's like having the samurai sword for education. So we're handing these students like one of the ultimate tools. I mean, in some ways, I mean, I think it's better than having a PC. I mean, I know there's going to be people, oh, PC's better and all that. But with MacBooks, there's a lot less worry about it getting a virus. It could, but I mean, it's a lot less likely. It's a lot more secure. But we wanted to see, you know, what will happen. And we were doing things like using robots, designing mazes for those robots. So it was a blend of not just like in front of the computer the whole time, but also something physical, you know, having to go get the robot, program it, fix the maze because, you know, the robot wasn't run right and knocked it over. So it's a blend of different things where, you know, they're using their hands and all that. But yeah, the initiative is to see what can the kids accomplish if we change the tool and we change the expectations of what learning should be. And right now with everything, how it is, it's like, wait, these kids had exposure to that and they didn't skip a beat. I just tweeted out a little screenshot of a message from one of my student's parents. Today's Monday, we're on spring break and he's cooking. So something that I did the first couple of days, once I knew they had their devices, or most of them had their devices, I did what's called a Flipgrid. The kids will record themselves. It's a video response and it's very secure. The company is super secure. Like it's not something that puts a kid's like video out in public. It's just mine to see, and we can, and the kids can see it also because they have access to it. And I asked them, what do you guys want to learn? Don't tell me English, science, history, anything like that. What do you want to learn that, you know what? Hey, now I have the time at home. They wanted a dance class. They wanted, Photoshop class, and they wanted a cooking class. There's like 20 more classes that I had to make for them. And what I do is I upload resources, but the mom, so the mom has sent me a screenshot, I mean, a video, and I took a screenshot of it and I shared it, a video of him making chicken teriyaki today. Oh. I was like, wow, awesome, you know? So the learning continues right now, even though, you know, we're technically on break, but that's because these kids had access to an amazing tool and they were given the resources to learn freely. And I think that's really important.
Yeah. So, being that you have, you know, the devices with the kids, have you made contact with all of your students, like in these last couple of weeks that we've been?
Yeah, every student either has their device. Last I checked, out of 32 MacBooks were picked up, but I reached out to the last student and waiting to hear back. I know right now, you know, we're on break, so maybe right when we come back, we try to set something up. And I know they're doing it like by appointment to be safe. So just, you know, so the listeners know. But I mean, he had his own device, so he was already like checking in. So, there are a few that I know they needed to get, access online. So I know the parents were working with the school district, which is awesome that they're working with parents to get them, a connection online, a better one if they don't have a good one at home. And also we were giving them the information from Spectrum, because I know Spectrum was working with people to try to get them online also.
Yeah.
And it just shows that, I mean, one of the big things that in education is equity. Like, hey, everybody should be on the same playing field. But there's a video out there where it's two teams competing. And one of them, they start off using just textbooks. And they got to use it to answer as fast as possible. And then the second round changes and one group gets a laptop. And the other team doesn't know. They can't see each other. They don't know how they're answering so quickly. And the kids are getting like frustrated to the point where they like quit. One looks like she's crying. That's these kids at home right now. Even if it's not to go online to class, but just access to the information. Cause right now, I mean, they're all basically trapped in their homes. So having internet should be something that every house should have. Yeah. How we do that, I'm not sure. But as a teacher, I can tell you right now that without it, some of my students are being limited to what they can and how much they can learn.
Yeah, I mean, I know for a while there was talk of making internet kind of like a utility, like light or gas. And it's something that, you know, I don't know why it stalled, but, you know, it's something that, yeah, it's a big necessity that, you know, especially like in situations like the one we are now, you know, it's really, really important. How have you managed to, you know, not skip a beat, you know, without being in the class? Were there any, challenges here and there, or was it smooth sailing?
I mean, I think the hardest, because one of the tools that we're using, is class. Well, there's different ones to manage the classroom, digitally. There's Class Dojo, there's Seesaw, there's one called Schoology, and then there's Google Classroom. That's the one that I use. I was already using it in my classroom. That way I could be pretty much paperless. If I need to grade something, I could check it on my phone if I want to. If I'm somewhere and I'm like, okay, you know, I don't have anything to do. I can get some work done or on my laptop. And I don't lose papers. I'm not, you know, killing myself, you know, reading papers. It's just, for me, it's a lot easier. And then the feedback goes straight to the kids. So when this happens, it's like, okay, well, the kids already know how. I mean, I had some kids checking in that evening through Google Classroom on their devices at home. They hadn't picked up anything yet. Because the day we closed shop, they told us like at 1 o'clock. And the kids already had kind of been like, we had kind of been kind of not warning them, but kind of saying like, look, it's probably going to happen. You know, we kept announcing like, okay, we're going to be open till this day. And then the kids were like, hey, they haven't announced till what day. They've only said till Monday. And I'm like, well, I'll let you know right now. You know, it was in the midst of the parents. So they kind of saw the writing on the wall too.
Yeah.
But because they had that evening, they're already like, hey, what's going to happen? And I told them, okay, you guys will get messages from the school and I'll give you guys more information. I'm going to reach out to parents. So for me, it was just, okay, I can't do hands-on stuff at home, but I can continue the learning part. And one of the benefits of me, I've been using it since the first day I was teaching. This is my sixth year teaching. The good part about that is I'm able to help give trainings to other teachers in Calexico School District. So we've had different sessions like this through Zoom with other teachers. All voluntary, but just, I mean, some sessions I have like 60 teachers and it's amazing. So I think that helped me, but also helping the teachers kind of helped me remember like, okay, you know, I haven't used this tool in a while. Or, you know what, they've made changes to it. I did some research before I did, you know, gave the training. Okay, you know what, it changed. I think I can use it like this now. But once you start using some of those tools, when someone introduces a new one, it can be very similar to others, like game-based learning. There's one called Kahoot. It's like a little game show. Now, there's like three or four others that are very similar. Quizzes, Quizlet, and Gymkit. But they all have their like perks, reasons to use them. And it's a good thing to rotate them. But, you know, once they go to one training and they see another one, the first thing you hear is, oh, it's kind of like that other one, right? And then they're like, okay, so now I see why this one's a little better for this and this one's a little better for that. But I think just having already used these tools, like Flipgrid, I was using it like 5 years ago when it first came out. It even had like a rival at the time, which now like disappeared because Flipgrid's so much better. And it just, like I said, I mean, having used them continuously, it just made it a lot easier to transition to this. And it also helped me to kind of help teachers explain, like, you know what, watch out for these little pitfalls, or, you know, you want to avoid doing this with the tools. So in that way, hopefully it'll make Calexico, you know, a little more effective in distance learning.
Yeah. Have you had any contact with parents?
Every parent, pretty much. I mean, if the parent hasn't answered, all of a sudden the kid will pop up and now they're active. I've had parent meetings through Zoom a couple of different times. I text them anything I updated in the classroom, like, okay, here's what the kids have to do, you know, right now. They'll get a message. And then I'll follow up with other information that they might need. When the kids have to meet, you know, for our like weekly meetings, we have meetings 3 times a week. They'll get that information too. So the fact that I've had every kid reach out, but I think some of them might have reached out, say like at a neighbor's house, just say, hey, I'm here, you know, I don't think I forgot, but I'm in the process of getting internet and so on. So I think hopefully by the time we come back from break, it'll be like 100%, but we're gonna, you know, that's what we're working on. I'm not sure if a couple of these that disappeared, they packed up and went to, you know, Mexicali or somewhere else in Mexico. I'm not sure. But that's another thing that we're working on, trying to get in contact. But we've used different tools. Class Dojo, that's one way that we can message parents because they can be invited into the classroom. Remind, which is kind of like a middleman. Like if I send a text from my app on Remind, it'll like hold it and then send it to the parents so they don't have my personal cell phone number. Another one is called Google Voice. You sign up for free with a Google account and it'll give you a phone number. So when I call, they'll see a different phone number. Yeah. So what I did first was I use that now exclusively because I feel like parents respond to that more. Because with Remind, there's some types of cell phones that won't receive messages from them. So I'm using Google Voice right now, and I've gotten way more responses. I was getting like 10 students per meeting. This last one, I had 26. Mm. So can't complain.
Yeah.
And the parents have been really good about responding and asking questions, staying involved, getting the kids online. And I know it can be difficult because some are not working, so they have that stress. Some are working, now they have the stress of childcare and how are they going to do that. So definitely working with them on that and being patient, and just, I know it's a big change right now for them.
What's one of the main concerns that you've, you know, received from them?
The main one I've heard is, how do I get online? What if I have, you know, there's some families that have 3 or 4 kids in, you know, ranging from, you know, kinder to high school. And they're like, well, I have internet. And I said, yes, because we reached out to parents and asked them to fill out a survey. And they're like, well, now I'm noticing it's getting like bogged down because I have so many. What can we do? So the thing I've told them is just, you know, reach out to the school district and let's see what we can do to help you. Maybe, you know what, I don't know if they would need one MiFi for one student, and that'll like ease up the flow of data going into the house and make it a little easier for everybody to work at the same time. That's been the biggest concern. And some have just said, you know what, I reached out to Spectrum, I can't get through. What else can I do? Devices have not really been an issue. We had a plan in place to distribute them. Then we did a second round, I think this last week that just ended, where it was kind of by appointment just to keep everybody safe. But basically, if somebody didn't have a device, you know, we were working with them to get something in their hands for the child. And then with internet access, same thing, you know, just seeing what we can do. And besides that, the other one is just, you know, when was this going to end? But now we know it's not going to end until after the summer, if that. And questions about grading, questions about, you know, role. And so right now, you know what, I just, you know, right now I'm just getting the kids working to continue the flow so they don't lose that flow of, you know, going to school, learning, reading, studying, doing things, making things, which can happen over the summer, but I want that to happen now. You know, and then when it's time to say we start grading sometime soon, I'm not sure even when that's going to happen, but let's say grading happens. If the kid's not ready, you know, to understand how the online workflow is, they might get a little lost, fall behind. So that's how I explain it to parents. You know what? We want to keep them consistent. So that's why, you know, we're asking them to just continue working now. And the response has been really good from parents.
That's good. Yeah, because especially like for elementary kids, it's kind of hard to, you know, keep them on a schedule, or, you know, keep them interested in learning. You know, like they could get easily distracted, especially like they're so young that, you know, they.
Yeah. And I mean, the babysitting situation at home may not be ideal, and maybe nobody's keeping an eye on them the best way possible to make sure they're checking in. Or maybe it's an older sibling that's in, you know, college themselves. And you know what? That's what we're trying to work on, you know, see how we can get everybody at the same place, you know, make it up.
Let's see. So like for, especially, I think it's a little bit harder for elementary kids, you know, knowing that they lost these last, what is it? 2 months, 2.5 months, 3 months. How do you think the school or teachers are going to manage the, you know, the fact that when they come back in, you know, they're going to be a little bit behind?
I think any school, no matter where they're at, I mean, they should look at it like, okay, you know what? When they come in, we got to figure out. Well, I mean, anytime I start a school year, I usually test the kids, but they don't know they're being tested. It's like, hey, let's play this little math game or spelling game. But those are words that they should know, or math terms they should know, or algorithms they should know. And if they don't know how to, you know, multiply it to a certain place, I'm like, okay, so now I know where I'm at. Or the majority's here, now I know where to start with. okay, let me talk about fractions. Okay, everybody is like sweating. Why? Okay, so fractions, still scary. Okay, let me figure out where I'm going to start there. And I think we're going to have to go in, you know, I don't want to say just like a straight test, like, here you go, something informal where, hey, let's play a game. But that gives me information, like one of those games, like quizzes. It's an online-based game. They have a timer. They get points. I can take the timer off or whatever and just modify it. And, oh, let's play a game. But on the back end, it sends me information, like a report, and I can look at it and say, okay, you know what? If I'm checking for time tables, you know, say I'm doing, like, say, third grade, okay, you know what? Everybody made it to the nines. I only got a couple that can go past the nines. Okay. So now I know where to start. But I shouldn't have a certain level of expectations because of everything that happened. These last few months, are a lot of it is for review for state testing. So that review, I don't want to say is lost, but it's going to change. So I need to change my expectations when they come back in the fall. But if a teacher, I think if a teacher goes in like, oh, well, they better be at this place. Well, can't really expect that because, I mean, was that kid there every day you were doing it? Was that teacher well-versed and experienced in teaching distance learning? If not, okay, maybe they weren't as effective as possible. So it could be, you know, the next teacher is expecting something, but the previous teacher still hadn't learned these tools. And they have the best intentions, but you know what? At least they're trying. They're doing their best. So I think the expectations should be lower. But I think what we are trying to teach and the content we deliver shouldn't be lowered. Let's try to learn these new tools, but also try to figure out how soon can I learn this? How fast can I learn it? And how soon can I deliver something high quality to my students?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, it just came to my mind that, you know, you guys as elementary teachers have it a little bit harder. Hey guys, sorry for the interruption, but it's time to pay some bills. So here's a word from one of our sponsors. All right, so now back to our regularly scheduled podcast.
It says that you're teaching multiple subjects and, you know, at the higher levels, you know, they're focused on just one subject. So, you know, kudos to you guys that, you know, we'll have to, you know, prepare for...
It's funny because I taught junior high math and I didn't like teaching the same stuff over and over. And then I just didn't like, you know, how many students I had. So the trade-off is I get, you know, the same 30 students, you know, all year, but I'm teaching everything. The trade-off is if I'm teaching junior high or high school, yeah, I have one subject and it'll kind of repeat itself. But I mean, it just depends what you want to learn. But yeah, It's difficult. I have experience teaching online because I teach an online course for teachers in regards to 3D printing. So I know how the workflow should go technically. And that's kind of like what I've done with other teachers here. Like I've talked to them and said, oh, you know, this is how I did it. I don't know if there's going to be specific guidelines to follow or not, but I mean, this is how I'm doing it now. This is how I did it before. Just like an online course, like, okay, Sunday night, here's everything for the week, guys. It's due by next Saturday at midnight. And I even talked to my students, said, right now, you guys are experiencing online courses. If you like this, later on, when you want to continue your education, if you're like, you know what, that class, I'm going to take it online. But this one, I want to see it more hands-on. I go, you'll understand the difference now. And in some ways, it's a benefit. Mm-hmm. They might say, you know what, I learned way better on my own because I managed my time and I knew I could focus more at home or... You know what? I didn't have to be at class at a certain time. They might say later on, you know what? I just want to go online exclusively for university or for college, which is something they would have never experienced. Even in high school, they probably would have never experienced it.
Yeah, that's something that with the teachers that I've talked to, something that came up a lot in the sense that, you know, it's kind of preparing them or giving them a taste of what college life is like sometimes, you know, where... You're on your own. You're given this responsibility of, you know, deciding when and how to manage your work. And, you know, yeah, it's a good way to kind of see. Because, I mean, I took a couple of online classes when I was at IVC. And, yeah, I mean, there was some that I was like, you know what, this class I needed to take you know, in the classroom, and then there was some that like for me, the English classes were easier for me to take online than they were to go to the, but like when it came to math, it was, for me, it was better to go to the class and kind of like see how the professor would work out a problem. But English is like, you know, you read, you have, you know, terms that you need to learn and ways you need to learn how to write. It's easier to take it online.
Yeah. So I think if they see it now, it'll help them in the long run too, because to do this kind of thing, distance learning, they have to learn to manage the time. So, I mean, if I put an assignment up on Monday and they have to end the end of day Tuesday, you know, Monday they take a nap all day and start at 5 o'clock. I don't care if they get an F. I mean, I don't care as long as they get it done and work at their pace. Mm-hmm. If they are like a night owl, and which that's how I am, go for it. I'm usually up at 6 o'clock, 5:30, you know, around there. And sometimes I'm working right away. If they do that, more power to them. And I tell them, it's up to you. I go, if you want to play all day and then work, or work and then you got the rest of the day to yourself, you know, figure out what works for you. And that's another thing that kind of is, it's a benefit from this bad thing that's happening. These kids are going to figure out how they learn best.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something you just can't teach, because maybe they're very visual. Maybe some of them are struggling right now because they have to see a teacher speak about it, you know, demonstrate it, you know, even though I'm seeing it visually, I need to actually be there. I need that thing in my hands. So some of those might, you know, suffer right now. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you know what, the content that we put up, if there's a way for them to have something at home that they can use as a manipulative, I mean, great. But I mean, I'm not putting anything up where, okay, you need to print this out. Maybe they don't have a printer. Yeah. One of the things I had was a science class, and I put a video, 15 experiments you can do at home. I watched the first few minutes, scanned it. I'm like, all right, looks good. I had some say, well, I can't do any of these. I don't have any of them. Okay, I don't have any material. Okay. Just tell me then, because they had to record a video response. I said, well, just tell me which one you wanted to do and why. And that relieved their tension and the pressure on them. I don't want them to think, well, I'm going to fail because my family can't afford baking soda, or they haven't gone to the store because we were scared to go outside. Instead, I was like, okay, well, just tell me what you wanted to do. And that's not copying out, or I'm letting them get away with it. It's, I got to be equitable. I got to be fair.
Yeah.
You know, we have, I mean, you could say Imperial County is what, border county, border community, but border town would be Calexico. Because, I mean, if I walk down the street from Kennedy Gardens, give me 10, 15 minutes and I'll be in Mexicali.
Yep.
And it shows sometimes, you know, sometimes it shows that, you know, these kids don't have access to certain things at home. Yeah, and that's okay.
And I mean, that's my elementary school. I went to Kennedy.
Oh, awesome.
I grew up.
I'm your favorite teacher now.
Yeah. You know those apartments that are, when you go down the bridge, the ones that have like a...
Yeah.
Like a Virgen and...
Yeah. Right over the metal bridge right there.
Yeah, that's where I grew up.
Oh, okay. I pass it. Sometimes I have to go leave stuff for a sub, and I go down that street on Rockwood.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a couple blocks past Rockwood is the old, I think, continuation. Now it's like a training area for Calexico Unified.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would always pass those apartments. Yeah.
So that's where I grew up. And and I went to, well, because I got here in 1990. So when I went to Kennedy, I was in third grade. Shout out to Ms. Loera. She was my favorite teacher at
awesome.
And yeah, like I know the demographic when it comes to even like growing up in the apartments where I grew up, it's, you know, low income homes. So I know, like, you know, sometimes, you know, they don't have everything at home that they need, like for a project, or especially now, like if you don't have it at home and you need to go out and buy it. You don't know if their parents don't have a job. You don't know if they're afraid to go to the store, like you said. So, yeah, it's kind of like you have to, you know, kind of be fair for everybody and kind of.
Yeah. And I understand, you know, we have this vision of teachers that are like overly strict, or every teacher is going to be strict. If some are, I think right now we'd need to be teachers that are patient and understanding and let that roll with us as we go forward, even if we go back to what I'm calling regular time where we're in the classroom. I know some teachers, so I do a reflection halfway through the year, usually right before we go on Christmas break, because I like to know what the kids think, because there's not a lot of male teachers. At my site, there's three of us. Uh-huh. I'm counting right. Yeah, three of us. A lot of my students were like, you were my first boy teacher. Sounds funny, boy teacher. and they'll say, I thought you looked scary. And I'm like, and then later on we'll discuss, and I'll say, why? Well, it's because you're a guy. And we just figured, you know, guys would be more strict. And they would say, you know, tell stories like, oh, my other teachers were ladies, and, you know, a lot of them were strict, or I had one nice one. And when they say nice, to me, I think what they're trying to say is I had a patient teacher. And I think that's what we got to have right now as we go forward, because they need to be patient, not just with the students and how they're going to come in the fall, but also patient with themselves. I know there's expectations for them to deliver content, but I go to a lot of conferences to do sessions. Basically, you know, it's like PD in person. There's different conferences all over California, I mean, all over the US. But one of the things that I usually tell them is, look, you're taking in a lot of information. Don't try to implement it all on Monday. Instead, pick one that you're like comfortable with, or you're like, man, that's like really powerful. I want that. That's the one you should focus on for like a week or two, and then start implementing something else. And then again, and then it'll start to get a little easier and easier. And just for them to understand, you might fall flat on your face, but that's okay. But I think some teachers are putting a lot of pressure on themselves to be at a certain level by a certain date. They're not, you know what, kids are not the only ones that are new to this. A lot, I'll say like 90% of teachers are like, wait, what? I got to teach online? Wait, use Google Classroom? I don't use these tools. Or I've used it once, but you know, I didn't like it and I stuck to paper and pencil, which mm-hmm. is okay. I mean, we use it all the time in my class too. But I think what we need a lot of right now is just patience and understanding yeah. from, you know, teachers, from students and from parents, because we're all in this together. And I think what Calexico has done and a lot of school districts have done so far is really, really powerful, which is, you know what? They didn't just say, hey, well, here's some paper. See you in a few months. It's like, hey, you guys still need to eat. We got it. Come pick up lunch and breakfast and lunch. You know what? You don't have a device at home. We got it. You don't have internet. We got it. And with the teachers, it's like, well, you know what? Who's going to train all this? You know what? We'll reach out and grab teachers. We're bringing in guest speakers. That shows like, hey, we want to grow. So if we hit like a bump, okay, it's just a bump. If we hit a wall, then we got to figure out how we're going to break through it or climb over it.
Yeah.
But you know what? Just understand that we're working together, you know?
No, and yeah, like you said, about, you know, the Google Classroom and kind of like learning all these things. I just spoke to a teacher before this, and she's a really good friend of mine, and she would always, you know, text me like, hey, I need help with this. And she's like, you know what, you would be really proud of me because I've been learning on my own how to do Google Classroom, and I feel so dumb because I should have used this since day one. Like, yeah, I didn't have the time before because I was busy with other things, but now that I have it up and running, it's super easy, it's super convenient, I don't have to make copies. Like, I know, like, this is going to help me next year. You know, I'm going to use it since day one. So like, a lot of teachers were maybe afraid or just like didn't think it would help their classroom. But, you know, now that they're using it, you know, you see the benefits of having this, like just the fact of not having to make copies and, you know, have stacks of paper to grade, you know, that's a lot of help when in terms of being organized. And a lot of teachers wouldn't use it because they didn't think it was helpful. But now that they're kind of like being not forced, but, you know, being a little bit proactive in the sense that this is going to help their students in this situation, you know, it'll be a lot more easier for them to, you know, use it in the future when we come back, or, you know, summer school or whatever, you know, they'll be able to use this tool that they learned because of this whole situation.
Yeah. And I think, what happened before is, I mean, oh, I'll get to it. No, I'll learn it later. Or, you know what, my style, I don't need that. And that's fine. Everybody has their own style. But now some of those styles don't fit the situation. And yeah, it's going to force some teachers to have to learn these tools. And I know it's daunting and intimidating. But I mean, if anybody needs help, I mean, if you know somebody, I mean, you can definitely send them my way. You can give them my email. If you want to post my email in your show notes, I can give you my personal one too, if you want.
Yeah, for sure.
And just put it out there. Hey, you know what? If you're a teacher and you need help and you know what? You're not getting the help you need, just, hey, I'm willing to do it my free time, which I have tons of right now.
Even though that you're, you know, technology, like really into technology, and like this has been kind of like a smooth transition for you, I mean, there's got to be something that you miss, you know, from not being at on school.
Yeah. So I do a lot of project-based learning. There's a misconception about project-based learning that the kids spend, you know, 5 hours a day on a project. No. And it's not that it's the hardest thing, but it takes time to learn how to manage a classroom when you're doing project-based learning. That's the hardest part for me right now, because I don't get to walk around my classroom and see the kids building things, working on things. One of the first projects they did was Cardboard Arcade. They make arcade games out of cardboard, and we invite other classes in to play it. Winners get 3D printed trophies. It's awesome. Then they do a board game, and that's what they had just finished. I was literally going to start inviting classes over to try out their board games. They start on cardboard. Well, they start on a piece of paper with the rough draft, and they pitch it to me. And then they do one on cardboard, paint it, make it look decent. And then I actually interview them like it's a job interview. Like they're trying to get money from my game company. They come dressed up. They have to be prepared. Some are like nervous or like stuttering, and they never skip a beat when they're presenting, but for some reason they got intimidated. And actually one of the ones we were going to start working on, which actually I should be able to still do like this with distance learning, is they make their own video games. They have to write a story and do like an art project and then draw storyboards about the story that they wrote. Basically the whole process that a game company would take before even programming one pixel of a character. But we can't do all that. So I might just do something modified. But yeah, that's the thing I miss. It would be basically come in. We would do something like math, a lesson, you know, check for understanding, a quick game, go back to another part of the lesson, and then into a project, and then into something ELA based, back into another project that we had running at the same time. And it's hard because the kids don't have access to those resources, which is very difficult to do, because I mean, to get 33 3D printers out there is not so easy. And some of the troubleshooting aspects I never went over with them, because if, you know, something got clogged or whatever, I mean, I took care of it because I was like, well, they're not going to need it unless they get their own home, which I've had students in other years, the parents buy them one and they get really into it. But just, I mean, so you know, what do you think a 3D printer costs? I mean, I think you already know because you've seen some of my sessions, but
yeah. I mean, there's expensive ones, and then there's, you know, budget friendly ones that, I mean, you probably get one like $100 maybe.
A really good one for $180. Really solid. If a part breaks, it uses universal parts, so it's like $20 to replace one of the main components. The kid will have to build it completely. So, I mean, there is that. But you know what? I mean, if possible, I mean, sure, I would have been like, oh, great. You know, I can lend out printers, but, you know, can't, because, you know, who would get them? But in the future, who knows? I mean, if we do this, if this happens now, if we want to do this again, but I mean, something like this happens, or if it continues longer term, it would be nice if I can get resources to leave, you know, half of my class 1 week or for 2 weeks, and then switch it over, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I missed. So that's the only thing that hasn't gone smooth, which is my depression. No, I'm kidding. But, yeah, it's rough. I love working with kids, and I love what I see them doing now, but it's not the same. Just like, you know what? The kids are learning, but it's not the same. Could it be a blend of, you know what? 4 days in class, and you know what, every Monday or Friday is online based learning. Sure. Maybe we could do something like that where, you know what, the kids learn at their pace on Fridays and all that. Or Monday they come in, you know, I mean, Monday they go online and we do what's called front loading and they watch some lessons and videos. And then we hit the ground running Tuesday through Thursday. Friday is still the same thing kind of, but we do more project based things. I mean, there's different ways we can move forward in the future. But yeah, I think that's the hardest part for me. Just cause we do a bunch of projects and can't do it now, but yeah. You know what? We'll figure something out. It's going to have to be all digital projects, I guess. Oh, you know what? I did give them one. Now I'm remembering. There's a online photo editing software that's free called Pixlr X. They had to get a picture and put another picture inside of it. So one of the demonstrations that they saw, it's a YouTube video. It's an orange slice, and then the person put like water in the orange slice and a goldfish. So some kids recreated it with different fish. Some had like a beach and they put things that you can tell they didn't belong there, but it did not look bad. I was like, hey, wait a minute. And yeah, I was very happy to see those and we shared it with each other. So
yeah, that's cool. So is there anything else that you, or anything that you would like to tell, you know, any students or your students, parents that might be watching?
You know what? Just, we know it's not easy for them to stay home. We know it's difficult for the parents. Some are, they still have to leave and they run that risk of getting, you know, sick. Some are not working right now, but then there's another problem. Yeah, they're not in harm's way, but they're not working. Maybe they're worried about the money, you know, for the rent, for their bills. One thing that I can say is, you know what, we're doing the best that we can for their child's education. And instead of looking at it like, okay, you know what, school ended. No, school changed for a little bit, but in the long run, this is going to be a good thing. A lot of these tools that the teachers have to learn now are powerful. And it'll make them more effective teachers, I believe. And if anything, this is just a different experience for the students that hopefully later on will make them better learners. It'll help them understand how they learn best and also give them a glimpse into, you know what, hey, when I'm in adulthood, I want to learn something. I don't have to actually be there. Or this course from this person that's like a master at it, you know, I know there's like a DJing course at MIT, you know, they want to take an online course. It's like, you know what, I did pretty well like that. I'm going to try it. I mean, it's only $20 for this class that somebody's offering. Why not? And it could, you know, take them down a path towards something that they're passionate about. But I would just want my students and my parents to know, or every parent out there and every student out there, right now, your kids are in good hands. We're going to keep trying to push the envelope and we're going to keep learning different tools and how to learn those tools effectively and deliver content that matters. And hopefully this will not last forever. And just know that, you know, one of these days, even if it's, you know what, it's not this school year, but I'll see those students soon in person and, you know, high five and hug and all that. It'll happen soon. This is not going to last forever. But just that, and for them to stay home and stay safe unless they have to go out. And yeah, that's what I would want them all to know.
All right, cool. So yeah, you know, we've been at it for like almost an hour now. Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah.
Been trying to keep them a little bit short that way, you know, we keep people focused and, or maybe just, you know, don't take too much of their time, but thank you for being on. I really appreciate it. You know, we had planned on me visiting your classroom and maybe,
oh yeah,
maybe interviewing some of your students because of the pilot. Unfortunately, you know, things changed. But you know, I really wanted to get you on here because I know that you offer a lot of good information. And like you said, you've been offering your help to teachers and students that might need that help.
Yeah.
And I know that you're really effective too, like in terms of, you know, teaching not only your students, but other teachers who, you know, adjust to these changes that we're going through.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I knew that. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I kind of knew that you would be offering your help if teachers needed it. Because I think I you had a session a couple weeks ago, right? Didn't you have like a little Zoom meeting with parents or with students or teacher? I think you didn't have a.
We've been having training sessions pretty much like Mondays through Thursdays, even on Fridays a couple times. And those have been on specific topics. Usually on Fridays, it's more like a little get together for teachers and continue learning and kind of decompressing. I've done some stuff with people that I know through Twitter. Like I offered like, hey, I'm going to do a session. Who wants to join in? But yeah, I mean, I did one session with a teacher. He reached out and was like, look, be honest with you. I'm not comfortable with this stuff at all. Could you work with me? You know, just please be patient. I'm like, of course. I mean, the fact that he opened up and said that, and afterwards he's like, man, we were just looking at Google Classroom. He's like, okay, it's a lot. I go, yes, and we're going to stop. He goes, yeah, but what about this other stuff? I'm like, no. We got to stop right there. You know, once you're comfortable with this, we'll do another one-on-one session, or you know what, look at the past videos that we've uploaded. But I told them, if you have a specific question, I can make you like a recording of my screen and kind of like walk you through it. Or we can do like this one-on-one live. It just depends what you want to do. Mm-hmm. So again, if teachers have questions, you can put my contact information in there.
Yeah, I'll definitely will. But yeah, thank you again for, you know, taking this time. Hopefully next year we'll have the opportunity to meet, you know, in the classroom.
And next school year, which is September.
Yeah, next school year in September. But yeah, thank you again for taking the time. Yeah, thank you guys for listening and watching, and please stay safe, stay home, wash your hands, and yep. We'll see you in the next one. Peace.
Bye, you guys.